House Hunters. The wedding had been phenomenal. A true spectacle for the lucky guests. There must have been 1,000 flowers, mostly white orchids and hydrangeas in light colors. Alexis and Christopher were known for throwing lavish parties, even before they had become engaged. They would have themed get-togethers where everyone had to wear elaborate costumes. Once, they had a party where everyone had to wear clothes from the 1920s, and all the girls managed to find amazing vintage dresses and jewelry. At their engagement party, they decided to have a lobster bake on the patio of their apartment building. All the guests were thrilled with their inventive planning and cuisine, but this wedding just blew them away. They had chosen to get married in the botanical gardens in the spring and hung hundreds of twinkle lights in the trees. The bride looked stunning in a long-sleeve gown with flowers sewn into her long train. The ceremony faced a panoramic view of the valley floor, and they began their vows just as the sun was setting. They had written their vows themselves, though Christopher was not quite so eloquent a writer or speaker as Alexis. He shared a very moving poem about the nature of love and marriage before he slipped her new ring over her finger. The minister announced that they were officially man and wife and signaled them to kiss. They had invited approximately 500 people, give or take a few, and many of the guests could not keep themselves from crying. It was so beautiful and so obvious that the couple had a love so special that it would last. The reception was even more intricate in its planning than the ceremony had been. It was in a huge ballroom at the Four Seasons Hotel, with a stage and plenty of space for dancing. There was a three-course meal for guests. The appetizer was stuffed peppers and crusty bread with goat cheese. The entree was roast chicken with potatoes. And everyone's favorite course was the chocolate souffle dessert that came at the end of the meal. The bride's and groom's friends made many toasts, and in these speeches, they all declared their appreciation for Alexis and Christopher's ability to organize such amazing parties. While Alexis never really stated her motivations for her need for a big wedding, she assumed that Christopher knew what they were. Alexis had always had a lot of friends, and she wanted to somehow give something back to them for their support through the years. She wanted to create events and moments that were magic and made life a little happier for everyone. During the reception, she often watched her guests' faces to be sure they were enjoying the food and atmosphere. Though she found it detracted her attention a bit from Christopher, she knew he would be understanding. When they were called to the center of the dance floor for their first dance as a married couple, Alexis felt very emotional, looking at all the faces around the room. It was then that she first thought how much she would need a big dining room table to invite everyone for dinner at her future home. She would have plenty of guests, even when she moved away to Chris's hometown an hour away. Christopher really loved Alexis. During the hours leading up to the wedding and after the ceremony at the reception, he felt exceptionally grateful and so happy that he'd been able to convince Alexis to marry him. Occasionally, he tried to meet her eyes, but she was looking at her friends. He thought she was thinking about their reactions, and he wished she could stay more connected with him instead in those moments, especially during their big dance. He felt sometimes a bit jealous of others in public, but he knew from previous parties they'd thrown that she was just thinking too much about how she could help others be comfortable and let loose. Besides, he could never be angry with her. He had tried before, but she was too sweet. and he knew all she wanted was to take care of everyone the way he wanted to take care of her. Though he wished at times that they could be alone and share an intimate embrace. The party went on until the early hours of the morning and was a real hedonist dream. After the grandparents, parents, and children had gone, everyone flocked to the bar, and the DJ, Christopher's brother, started to really blast the music. The couple had some wild friends who could really bust a move, and around 300 people stayed right until the end, enjoying the free drinks and the company of other open-minded and enthusiastic partygoers. After Christopher and Alexis got in their limousine with the words "just married" spray-painted on the windshield, no one heard from them for over a week. Of course, a couple who knew how to have a wedding like this would also plan for a great honeymoon, they reasoned. While their closest friends missed them, they knew it was only a matter of time before they would have to come back down to reality. Alexis and Christopher never wanted to leave their honeymoon suite. They had flown to the island of Santorini in Greece, where they spent their nights in a whitewashed cave house and ate yogurt with honey and fresh fruits every morning on a balcony overlooking the sea. They took cruises, swam, snorkeled, saw ancient ruins, and ate seafood in the evenings. But they both couldn't completely banish the thought that everything was going to change. The future was an intrusive third party and would crash over them like a rough wave. Now that they were married, they could no longer live exactly as they had when they were first dating. The honeymoon was a restful and beautiful time, but it acted also as a sort of punctuation mark, separating their story together into what had happened before and how they would arrange their lives after their wedding. On Tuesday, they announced the big move to their more intimate friends and family members. And on Wednesday, they wrote the news on social media, to the dismay of many of their acquaintances and neighbors. Alexis wrote the post because she was the superior writer. It said, "After a lot of deliberation, Christopher and I have decided to move to Roseville to start our family. We will miss all our friends and neighbors who have wandered into our lives in our past 5 years of cohabitation, mostly through the kitchen, and who have entertained us and supported us through good and bad times. We will not be so far away and hope you will consider coming to visit us in our new home, when we have a new home, and when you have the time to get out of the city." They were more popular than either of them had realized, and phone calls, comments, and texts poured in. The sadness of their friends seemed quite authentic. Oddly enough, after they had announced that they were leaving, they began to feel the pressure to find the house. They sat in their kitchen, a few half-packed boxes scattered around them, and spontaneously began a serious discussion. "I know it's hard to leave our connections here, but I know living out in the country will be so much more peaceful. You can still get around with the car, so you won't feel trapped, and we will have solitude sometimes, time to focus on each other and ignore others' demands. We can do things on our own terms." Alexis smiled, but didn't know where his need for aloneness had come from. "It seemed uncharacteristic." She responded, "I know you've said you'll feel better in the country, but let's just wait and see what's available, and we'll make a decision from there." The next day, they called the realtor to check listings, and she reported that there were three options available in their area of preference. The realtor asked if they would like to go and see them, and they scheduled the visits for the weekend. It was really happening. They were going to find their dream home. On Friday night, they whispered to each other earnestly, arranging the furniture and choosing their new bedding and the colors they would paint the walls. "Let's not get ahead of ourselves too much," Christopher warned. "I have a feeling that we will snap up a place very quickly, though. I just hope we find the right one in our budget." Alexis had not thought much of a budget until that moment, but felt confident that they would find the house quickly, too. Everything had always come together for them, and she believed that when things were meant to be, they came easily. The realtor was pleasant enough, but had a robotic demeanor. She took them dutifully to their first house. The drive was about an hour, but passed quickly as the couple chatted between themselves. The private driveway was long and lined with trees, and Alexis fell in love with the willow tree in the front yard. The house was a bit old, but rustic and charming. It had a large living room and two bedrooms. The ceilings were low, which Alexis didn't like so much, but the kitchen was large, and there was an island in the center where she could talk to guests while preparing food. Christopher had a sense of nostalgia when he walked into the house. It was like the house he'd grown up in, but he felt it was probably also not the best investment. Christopher usually followed his logic rather than his heart, and he felt divided on whether he could choose to live there. After a thorough look around, they decided to go look at another property. The second house was just a few minutes away by car in the same neighborhood. It was lighter colored and had a stone facade and a large porch. Alexis thought the outside looked more clean and modern. They were ushered inside into a huge living room. The ceilings were so high. The windows let in lots of light, and there was room to dance or to do exercise. Alexis felt elated. "This is perfect," she thought. Christopher also liked the newness of the house, but it felt a bit empty. It lacked character. Everything was too new, almost sterile. He wanted something that felt more like a home and not just a blank canvas for them to inhabit with their stuff. When he saw the look on Alexis's face, a feeling of dread started to creep in. "What do you think?" she asked, hopefully. "I can see you really like it, but for me, it's missing something," he replied. "Are you crazy?" she replied. "Can't you just imagine having friends over in this kitchen?" Christopher tensed up. "That's right. That's what it's all about for you, always, right? Sure, let me buy the house that makes your friends most happy. Don't worry about me." It had come out very sharply and unexpectedly, and his anger surprised them both. Alexis wanted to run away. They had always planned for everything together, so why would he be upset about this now? Just because he wanted his way with the house, she decided. "Why is this an issue now? You've never said anything before. You just want to have what you want. I'm sorry I got so excited," she said, heartbroken. Christopher got even more upset. "Let's just go back home. I need to get away and clear my head." They must have made the realtor uncomfortable in the car. There was so much tension in their silence. They didn't say a word to each other and left each other to their thoughts. Alexis wanted to cry, but held herself together proudly. She couldn't believe how quickly he had turned on her. Was this how their marriage was going to be? When they got home, Christopher left. She could not believe it. Every hour he was gone, she felt more and more lost. How had this happened? She tried to call his phone, but he wouldn't answer. When he finally came back, he had a huge stockpile of more moving boxes with packaging tape, which he had apparently collected from all over town, and a determined expression. "I'm sorry I blew up at you earlier," he said. "I just needed some time to think. I've been feeling lately like you care so much about what our friends will think, but don't really notice how I am feeling." Alexis felt angry still, but thought for a moment and allowed herself to answer calmly. "You could have said something before, instead of making a scene in front of a stranger," she said. A few moments later, she gave him a hug. "Maybe you have a right to be angry. We will live in the house together, so of course you need to be happier with it than the people on our guest list." Alexis tried her best not to show her disappointment. Christopher tucked her hair behind her ear. "Let's try again tomorrow," he urged gently. The realtor looked a bit wary when she arrived at their home the next day. "The third one is a bit of a gamble. It's not for everyone," she said. Christopher and Alexis both perked up. They drove past a golf course and a local grocery store onto a dirt road. The house was stucco with a gray tile roof. It looked like a small French chateau, and there were flowers in the windowsills. There was a wooden bench swing in the front yard. Alexis grabbed Christopher's hand silently. The inside was not so large, but clean and beautiful, with granite countertops and steel appliances. The ceilings were high, and two windows had been made with stained glass. There were little unique details everywhere. The couple exchanged glances. When Christopher heard the price, he could not believe what a deal it was. He could see Alexis was happy, and he was so relieved that his mind and heart could agree over whether to invest. This was going to be their home. The children came before any other parties. Alexis gave birth to twins that year. During moments of discomfort and moments of contemplation, she stared up at the beautiful little windows and felt a simple joy. Christopher would put the twins on his lap and rock with them on the swing outside. She had chosen well, she thought. She had had a housewarming, a baby shower, and a party for the twins' birth. Her friends loved the drive out and the refined character of her house. What a lucky find, Alexis thought. But she was not only thinking of the house. She was watching Christopher intently now. Christopher was planning to plant a garden. He swung with the kids, thinking of the things he could build on the grounds. Maybe a playground. And in time, maybe a small pond on their land. He should water those flowers again for the windows, he thought. Spring was coming.